Open your Bibles with me to Colossians. Colossians. I know it says Galatians, but we're dealing with legalism. We're going to abolish legalism. And that's why I'm in jeans and my tennis shoes and my t-shirt. And some of you out there are mad. My pastor, you gotta be wearing slacks and you can't wear jeans. And I was gonna wear my hammer holder and put my hammer in there and my tape measure and wear my ball cap, but I'd probably put you over the edge. So you'd be finding new church. I did all that stuff. We're abolishing legalism, man. You have to understand the truth. Listen, we have lost so many younger generation people because of our legalistic standards. And they don't want to come back. I don't want all your man-made rules and regulations. Because that's what legalism is, right? A bunch of man-made rules and regulations. Now, there's nothing wrong with having some guidelines. We got to have guidelines. I was talking with somebody earlier that people need guidelines because that's all you do is push the envelope. So when you push the envelope, you got to have those guidelines pushed back a little bit just to keep you in check. But here's the problem. We need to understand the good news. We need to understand the gospel. You have got to have clarification of the virgin birth, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, rapture, and the literal second return of Jesus Christ in understanding that gospel message. You've got to have that. And so we need clarification of all this stuff because we have literally fallen into a bunch of do's and don'ts of Christianity. And so I want to give you the truth. And so as we go through the book of Galatians, he deals with legalism. And so as a little precursor to the book, that's why we're in Colossians. So if you go open to Colossians chapter 2, we'll get into that in just a moment. But I want to give you, and I may regret doing this. I want to give you a little personal testimony from a couple of folks. I've asked Brad and Brittany to come. Would you guys come? Maybe I should just ask Brad to speak. Did I say that out loud? So I just want them to give a personal testimony because here's the idea. We come to Jesus Christ from all walks of life. Whether you grew up in church, whether you didn't grow up in church, whether you're a heathen, whether you're still a heathen, it doesn't matter. And so I just want you to see their personal testimony coming from different aspects. And I want them to talk about how they come to this church. This is a neat story. And praise God, because only He gets the glory. They had three standards, what they were looking for. And when they come here, we weren't even in the runnings. And God works in wonderful ways. And so they're here. And we appreciate it so much. So you guys come. And
okay, so Pastor Dan had talked to us about just kind of giving us a little background of where we kind of came from. Because we, if you don't know us, we come from very vastly different backgrounds. So I grew up in church, very strict church, great church, but there are a lot of rules, things that need to be done, that kind of thing. And a lot of it's for the good as well. So I don't want to ever, you know, like say something bad about another church. So like I said, where I grew up was very different. I grew up in a pastor's home. So my dad was associate pastor. And so our set of rules and guidelines was different than a lot of other people's was. So that kind of gives you the background of where I came from. And we were expected to do things, and I was raised that you went by the rules for certain reasons. And it wasn't until we kind of, after we got married, that we kind of explored the opportunity, like, hey, why are we actually following these rules, that kind of stuff? Like, what's the reason behind that? So that's a starter point for you, so you can kind of get an idea of, like, where I came from. Then I'll kind of give it to you for a second.
Okay. I actually as well went to a very strict church when I was really young, like really young. And all I remember from it was, this is Minnesota, so nobody knows this church, but all I remember is getting stared at all the time. We were always late. We didn't dress right. I know.
Don't laugh. Some of you guys are always late, too.
We didn't dress right. My dad was working constantly, so he was in and out. He'd get a call, and he'd, you know, have to go. He was a paramedic. So I felt like we were constantly being judged. I mean, like, people would look at us, we would get told things, we would get, I mean, it was just really bad. So my parents ended up stopped going. Like, we always felt like we weren't dressed right, we weren't doing the right things, we weren't saying the right stuff, we didn't have this perfect home. So we ended up leaving the church, and we ended up stopped going to church. So I didn't go to church for a really long time. I got into some really bad stuff, drugs, drinking, everything, to be quite honest. You name it, I did it. Long story short, I did end up at Pensacola Christian College. Really crazy, long story short. But I did know, I do believe in the verse, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he shall not depart. I 100% Amen. Believe that, because my parents did, we were saved at a young age, and my parents tried their best, but again, because of the legalistic church that we went to, we got so pushed away that, like, my parents felt like, and as kids, we felt like we couldn't do anything right, so we didn't even want to go. So we were pushed so far away, but again, I knew in my heart, and as we still prayed together in our home, we still, you know, obviously talked about God, but again, we just felt like we didn't fit into a church because that was what we knew. So anyways, in my heart, I know that God was working on me, and my dad knew about Pensacola Christian College because my grandparents live in Pensacola. So anyways, long story short, my dad gave me, actually, I was high as a kite when I went to my dad, if I'm going to be true story. And I was like, I got to go to Pensacola Christian College. And he's like, oh, my word, what is wrong with you? And again, a super long story. He sat me down and he was like, what is going on? And the next day he came back and we talked about it. And I was like, actually, Dad, truthfully, I got to get away from this. I don't know, but I feel like God is calling me to Pensacola. And he's like, you are not going to Pensacola. You are not going to get kicked out. I'm not dropping you off to turn back around to pick you up. And I said, no, Dad, I promise, like, God is calling me to Pensacola. Anyways, I go to Pensacola Christian College, and I knew about the rules. And I think that's the difference, too. Like, when you know what's to be expected of you, I think that's okay, too. And at that point, I'll be honest, I will never, ever diss Pensacola Christian College, because it was what I needed. And what you were saying, some people need lines because you know they're going to cross them. So, like, I do need a couple lines closer to me because I'm gonna cross them. So, anyways, I needed those at the time. But then when him and I got married, we did go to a great church, but I also felt like Pensacola... Is that me? Sorry.
Yeah, you're just full of a little more wind than Brad is.
Yeah. Pensacola had me, like, I was scared, I'll be quite honest. Like, they scared me into religion almost. Like, I was scared to death if I did something wrong, that I was like, oh my word, God doesn't love me now. Like, and then I would do this over here, and I'm like, oh my word, God doesn't love me. And then I go to sort of a little bit more of a, can I call it legalistic church? I mean, what am I calling it? Just more, Brad. I go into... the things that he kind of believes. And, like, I was so confused because I remember being like, okay, Pensacola taught me all of this, and I needed it at the time because I went from legit drug addict to, like, Pensacola Christian College, which was, like, so much opposite, okay? So I'm sitting here like, there's got to be a middle ground, right? So while him and I are dating, we got to talking, and I remember thinking, when we're married, this will be so great because I can learn what I actually, you know, have a relationship with Jesus that I kind of want. And then I kind of got pushed into another certain church that had different rules and regulations, and I remember feeling like, oh my word, I'm not perfect again, like, and I need to be perfect again. And I want to say that, like, you cannot judge somebody when they walk into the church. Like, you can't, because you have no idea the things that they did go through. And I felt like it was crazy because I'd go into church and I'm like, wow. Like, if you would have known me 10 years ago, you would be like, wow, you're doing so great. And you know Amen. What? Hey, come here. Let me tell you why that skirt's a little short. Or, hey, come here. We don't talk like that because this. But, like, if you don't explain things, I'm, like, thinking I'm married. I'm an adult. I should be able to make decisions, and I should be able to learn these things over here versus this over here. But then when you're like, ooh, that is wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. You're doing that over here wrong. This is wrong over here. I don't want my kids listening to you because you're not a good example. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, wow. I didn't know I was doing that. I'm so sorry. And I just, all to say, you have no clue. And I feel like that is where legalism starts, is they judge you from the minute you walk in. And if it's okay, if you think it's okay to wear a dress, then you wear one. But, like, you should never have a precursor that says, hey, you should come to church with me, but throwing it out there, we wear dresses. Like, no, like, everyone's welcome. Like, what's that song by Matthew West? Truth Be Told, I think, is what it is. Oh, such a good song. Like, do this, but not this, but this, but not this. So I love the idea of this because I have learned so much.
We want to stay on track, too. We don't want to take up the whole service.
You thought pastors were long-winded.
Yeah, okay, so basically, we got married, and once we got married, we went to church. We went to church we attended before we came here, and then we started to, we were like, hey, you know what, let's explore the options. We were there for a while. We weren't happy with what was going on, and so we said, let's explore the options. Let's go around and see all the different churches. So we said, let's do our due diligence, and let's go to all the different churches in the area and visit them for every service.
Here's something kind of cool. I prayed for a very long time. Ask Jamie, one of my best friends. We would talk about it, and I was like, Brad will never change churches. Again, because it was an awesome church, and his family does go there. I knew there would be no way, no way, unless Jesus was like...
All right, so... So, as a husband, I could tell, like, after a while, obviously it took me a while, but because I'm not that bright, but I could tell, like, hey, this is not working out. Like, we need to explore our options, see what's out there. So, we went to, how many churches did we go to? I don't know. 10, 12? Sure. Yep. I don't know. So, we went to every church that there was, pretty much in the area, went to every service that they had. So,
which was so cool, to be honest. I do recommend doing that because there isn't a perfect church, but it is kind of fun to go see how different people are and, yeah. You know, and God will lead you to the right one.
So,
whose is this?
Just kidding. In our process of going to all the different churches, like, this was one of the ones we actually were like, we're just going to kind of skip out on. We're like,
he told me we're probably not going to go here because, you know, they don't preach KJV.
Sure. So, that was one of the three things we talked about. As we said, as like, between us, we were like, we'd like a church that preaches a KJV. We'd like a church that has a children's ministry and something that has Sunday night and Wednesday night services or doing something. So as we came here, one of the first messages that Pastor taught about was, like, he was teaching about the Bible. And, like, I was like, oh, okay, well, he's like, yeah, KJV, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't know about this. So then it was like, okay, I'm going to come back because I want to listen to what he has to say, because there's maybe some things that I don't know, or I was raised this way, but there's maybe these rules and things that I was doing were just because I was taught that way or because I was told I had to do it that way. So that was one thing that, like, drew us to this church, was the people here were very nice to us. We came in, everybody was very welcoming. And then also, pastor's very knowledgeable. That was one of the things we talked about. Like, I didn't want to go to a place where I felt like that, you know, was going to struggle with, like, listening to the pastor and questioning what he was saying and that kind of stuff. So we came and we visited, went to all the services, and actually the Wednesday night services were really great. So, but that was one of the things that we talked about. Like, there was, like, I was like, I don't really want to bend on that. But then it was like God saying to me, like, hey, maybe you need to consider this. Maybe you need to think about this. Maybe there is other options that you were taught, that maybe there's other things that are also right. So I think that's where we're going with all the situation is, we got to have an open heart, open mind to what's going on, whether that's people coming in or rules that we think are right or not right. We have to open our heart to what God would have us to do and what God has for us, not what we want to do for ourselves. So
I think another thing, really quick, that I think is totally cool too, is I feel like what you get with the pastors here, you get in church as well as outside, yes, of church. And I think that, amen, was huge for me,
yes, sure,
because like, I don't want somebody like preaching at the pulpit, but then you kind of know what another thing about them. I think that was what I struggled too, because I feel like here I am. I mean, if you know me, you're going to get me the same everywhere. I mean, I don't change. I don't change on my social media. I don't change on here. I don't change here. So I struggled with that too, because I don't like the idea of I walk into church a certain way, but then I can, like, you think you should do this over here, but you can't do it in church. Like, you, whatever you're doing outside of church, you should be doing in church at the same
That's
time.
Right.
And I think that was a really big deal for me, for sure.
Awesome.
So, I guess in closing, that was a bit of a train wreck, but thank you for staying with us, okay? But now you know a little more about us, okay? But the big thing, like I said, is I think that for us, the idea of coming in and people being welcoming to us, not knowing where we came from or what was going on, that was huge. And then also for us was like we came with like an open mind of like this, maybe this is an option for us. And I think that's what we have to do is we have to say, hey, let's consider the options. Let's see what's out there. What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? What can we change? Those kind of things that can help us and have an open mind with where we're at in our walk. So.
And then decide the relationship you want yourself with Jesus Christ, not the rules, the regulations, the what people are saying. Like, truthfully, get in the Word and find out what you think is right versus wrong. Because God will tell you there's things that I went against because I was like, you're telling me what to do. I don't want to do it. And then, but if you were just, hey, this is what it says here. Oh, okay, that makes way more sense. Okay, I'll do that.
Yep. Amen.
So, thanks. I think that's all we got.
Yes. Thank you, guys. Appreciate your testimony. You keep saying long story short. I don't think it means what you think it means. Okay. All right. My 2.5 minutes turned into 20. I love you guys. That's all right. We'll let the Spirit of God have His way in the church because that's what we're here for. So if you'll give me a little bit of extra time, we got a lot to go over this morning. So when we talk about legalism, I want you to understand, and so for a simple definition, legalism, and this is how we're going to deal with it in the book of Galatians, means, my definition, that your salvation, and I hate using this word, but for lack of a better one, your spirituality. Does that make sense? Oh, you're all spiritual. You're so spiritual. Whatever that means. So either your salvation or your spirituality is based on man-made regulations, based on man-made rules. And that's what we're trying to deal with. So if you are in Colossians chapter 2, look with me at verse 16 and 17. Paul writes this. He says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of the things to come. But the substance is of Christ. Richard Kelly, would you open us in a word of prayer, and we'll get into our study this morning.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to come together here to fellowship, to love one another, Lord, and to just grasp your messages deeper. We're so grateful, Lord, that you have provided
Amen. Okay, so when we talk about legalism, we talk about anything that prescribes your salvation or your being all spiritual to man-made rules and regulations. However, when you have guidelines that you're supposed to follow, and you follow those guidelines, that is a lot different. There's a difference between following guidelines and legalistic rules and regulations. And so if I'm obedient to God's word, that means that's not legalism. That's obedience. Does that make sense? All right. So when we talk about the ritualistic system, it ended at Jesus Christ. You remember we sang, It Is Well With My Soul? He took the penalty. He took everything, and it was placed on the cross on my account. Listen, if you're there, look at verse 14, Colossians chapter 2. Paul says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Okay, I took a whiteboard, and I took a black dry erase marker, and I put on there, God, I'm a sinner, and I owe you, I put a big I owe you my life, because the wages of sin is death, right? So sin is a debt. Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13, the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, blah, 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 forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Sin is a debt. So when we sin, we owe God our life. Complete separation in hell. So what happened is, when you accept Jesus Christ, you write, I owe you my life, and God takes that I owe you, and he put it on the cross. And you know what he did? He took the eraser and just wiped it clean. Isn't that awesome? Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements. What is required for salvation? Blood. Leviticus 17:11, right? For the life of flesh is in the blood. God says, I've given it to you on the altar for to make atonement for your sin. But nothing's good enough except for God's blood. So when you accept Jesus, it's as if you died with him. And he took care of all the requirements. Period. End of discussion. So what do you need to do for your salvation? Nothing. It's all done. It's all been accomplished. And that is the beauty of it. All right, back to verse 16. So he says, let no one judge you in food, in drink, regarding a festival, a new moon, any of that stuff. Don't get entangled back into slavery. Don't get entangled again. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says this. Stand fast in the liberty, the freedom by which Christ has made us free. And don't be entangled again to a yoke of bondage. Why would Jesus Christ take all those requirements that are required for salvation, die for you, meet those requirements, and then at salvation say, okay, now you got to follow a bunch of rules and regulations again? That don't make any sense. That's why he fulfilled them, because he's the only one that could fulfill them. So to say that you, your spirituality, your salvation is based on the things that you do on the outside is wrong. How you eat, how you drink, whether you have church on Sunday or Saturday, whether you wear a suit and tie or a dumb t-shirt with some stupid words on it and a pair of jeans with a hammer holder, whether you keep all of the traditions, whether you do the King James only, whether the girls wear skirts down to their ankles. Listen, the problem with that kind of evaluation is that somebody can come in and fulfill every single one of those regulations and be as unsaved and as lost as the Jews are. Look at the Mormons. The Mormons are the most morally pure people in the world. Better than Christians. That's not funny. That was my sarcastic laugh. They wear a suit and tie to church. They love Jesus Christ. You ask them. They do things for Jesus. Unfortunately, their Jesus was Michael the archangel, come down into Mary, conceived, was called Jesus on the earth in his death, burial, and resurrection. When he went back up into heaven, he became Michael the archangel again. Jesus Christ is not a created being. He is God. And that's the difference. So when you get into, we'll talk about religion when we get into the gospel here in chapter 1. It's coming up. It's going to be a long one, like a 10-week series. But here's the idea. Those people can look saved on the outside, but it has nothing to do with what's on the inside. Jesus says this in Matthew 23, verse 25 through 28, when he was talking to the Pharisees. He said, woe to you, hypocrites! You cleanse the outside of the cup and the outside of the dish, but inside you're full of extortion, you're full of self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside may be clean also. And then he goes on, verse 27, to say, woe is never a good thing, just so you know. For you're like whitewashed tombs. It would be like putting a dead body in a coffin and then painting the inside of the coffin white. Why? Well, because it looks good. It may look good, but it's still got a dead body in it. And that's, I mean, he's talking about salvation. He's like, yeah, you can polish the outside. You can look good on the outside, and you're still just as saved as anybody else in the lost world. It's ridiculous. You can't put legalistic regulations on something that's not there. He says this in verse 33. He goes, it doesn't matter if you polish the outside of the cup, the dish, you paint your tombs white. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you going to escape the condemnation of hell? Doesn't matter what you do. Does not matter what you do. External things are not the measuring tool for your salvation. Amen. Or you being all spiritual. That's not the rule. Oh,
I saw so-and-so light up a cigarette on the way out to church. He must not be saved.
Oh, yeah? Wow. So cigarettes are what makes you a Christian. That's what gives you salvation, cigarettes?
I saw so-and-so at the restaurant, and they had a beer.
Oh,
they must not be a Christian.
Really?
I went to that mission point to visit, and that pastor had jeans on. He must not be saved.
Man, I'm telling you, when you go through all that, and you begin to do the outside, external stuff that tells you what is and isn't Christianity, all you're doing is playing a game. Right? That's all you're doing is playing a game. I can play the game just as good as anybody else can. I can play the unsaved game too. Let me show you how unsaved I am too. It doesn't matter. Now we're going to get into a lot of topics in this book of Galatians. We're going to deal with alcohol, we're going to deal with tattoos, we're going to deal with gambling, we're going to deal with it all. Because whether you do those things or you don't do those things, does that make you a Christian? If you murder, does that make you a Christian? If you commit adultery, does that not make you an un-Christian? So why are you putting legalistic standards on everybody? Why you judge people when they come in here? You see that guy? He's got horrible clothes on and he smells bad. Well, he needs Jesus Christ just as much as the one that smells good. Okay, we got to get going. I got to get off my soapbox. All right. Long story short. I love you in Jesus. So good. Good, good. This is not how we judge people. It doesn't mean that you don't do those things. Paul says this in Romans chapter 14, verse... No, am I wrong? Is that not the next one? Okay. Move on, next one. I got to keep moving. So, Paul says in Romans 14, verse 5, the NLT says it this way, in the same way, some think one day is more holier than another day, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whatever day you choose is acceptable. I think, Jody, don't you say that you love this day? This is Sunday. This is your day. This is your happy day. You love that day? Amen. You know what? It's just another work day for me. Right? I got work every Sunday, whether you're here or not. Whether you're sleeping or not, I'm here. Here! She likes this day? Every day is just a work day for me. Because I give God glory in every day. No offense. I mean, some people like Friday because, oh, I'm done with work. And yes, this is my first day to enjoy the whole weekend. Whatever. Whatever day you want to enjoy is great. It's fantastic. It's fine. And so and he says that don't be legalistic about stuff. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 and 4. He says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with hot, forbidding to marry. Wish the Roman Catholic priest would read that. Forbidding to marry. What are you forbidden to marry? Oh, well, fathers are not allowed to marry. The heck they're not. Read the Bible. Abstain from foods which are created by God to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature, you know, I looked up that word every in the Greek. You know what it means in English? Every. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. So, let me ask you a question. What does every creature encompass? Every? Can I eat dog and cat? Oh, see, you legalistic people! I love going to Hong Kong buffet. Now listen, if every animal is good for food and God has given it us, nothing is to be refused if it's offered with thanksgiving. Am I allowed to eat dog and cat? You better believe I am. So don't you judge me by what I eat. That's biblical. Here's the problem. Man, do you know we got a lot of people that need food? And I'm telling you, and no offense, God has given us this creation. We pull everything out for His glory and our use. And we should take care of animals. I am not for animal cruelty. But we've got a lot of animals out there that we put to sleep because there's just nobody wants them. We have a lot of animals that get put to sleep. Do you know how much that could feed people? Right? But legalistically, oh, I can't eat dog. You go to the Philippines, man, they love cat. You say, those missionaries that come over, man, they eat balut. Anybody know what balut is? It's those little chickens that are partially, they got the beaks and the feathers and... Okay, we got to move on. Let's just keep going. I'd eat cat and dog, but I don't know about balut, man. I don't know if it's a little chicken with the feathers and stuff. Listen, Paul is saying, don't let people rob you of your liberty. You have freedom in Jesus Christ. He died and shed his blood to make you free.
Amen.
Live in that freedom. Now, we'll get into it. I don't want to get too crazy. But you have to limit that liberty sometimes so that you don't offend somebody. So that you don't cause a brother to become weak. So that, I mean, there's things that you don't take your liberty and shove it in somebody's face and do. You've got to understand that there is, and those are regulations. It's not legalism, but you have to take your liberty within stride. All right, back to verse 16. He says, so let nobody judge you. Food, drink, regarding a festival, new moon, or Sabbath. Don't worry about the Sabbath. I wish the Seventh-day Adventists would read that verse. It says, don't let anybody judge you about the Sabbath. Do you know what? I see pictures and posters and all kinds of stuff, and they say, you know, Sabbath is Saturday, and that's when we worship. Antichrists have changed it. I've never changed the Sabbath. It's always been Saturday. But you know what? I don't have to keep the Sabbath. Amen? Let me tell you something. We can have Sunday morning church, Tuesday night, Wednesday night church, Thursday, and we can take Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off. And it's okay because the Bible says it's okay. But what we do is we go, you can't do that, Danny. We praise God on Sunday only. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that I don't follow your rules. Man. Okay. Look at verse 17. We got to get through this. I only got 5 minutes. So rudely interrupted in the beginning. Paul's. I love them. If I don't pick on you, I don't like you. I love you guys. Paul says in verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance of that shadow is Christ. See, all those things in the Old Testament were shadows. They're pictures. A biblical shadow is a picture of something who is eliminated when the person comes. It speaks of a person. And that's what that shadow was. All those legalistic regulations were just a picture of Jesus. The Passover. You know what the Passover was? Picture of Jesus. Right? When Moses led the people in the wilderness and that manna come down from heaven, you know what that manna was? That manna was a picture of Jesus. Matter of fact, Jesus says in John chapter 6 this, verse 32 and 33. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you true bread from heaven. What's that bread from heaven? It says, God is He. It's a person. That's the bread. It's He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The manna was a picture. It was a shadow of Jesus to come. The manna kept them alive in the wilderness, right? Because that's all they had was manna. And Jesus come down and He'll keep you alive eternally. That was a shadow of a picture of what was to come. And so now everything is fulfilled in Jesus. He is the fountain of living water. He is our rest. Matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden and labor and stuff and confused, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. I'll give you rest for your soul eternally. I'll give you rest for today. I'll give you rest for tomorrow. I'll give you peace even during harsh circumstances. He is our Sabbath rest. It's Jesus. So you say, oh, I get it, Danny. I get it. So if I accept Jesus, He took all the requirements. Now I can drink, smoke, and chew and hang around with all the women that do. And I can do whatever I want. And I don't have to come to church. No. What I'm saying is this. Don't judge somebody's salvation or their spirituality based on what they do externally. Has nothing to do with what you do on the outside. And God will judge people. Don't you judge me. Well, yeah, Jesus says in John 7:24 that we are to judge people righteously. Don't get me wrong. But in the end result, whether people are saved or unsaved or you're all spiritual, that's up to God. Matter of fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, he says, "Therefore, judge nothing before the time, till the Lord comes, who's both going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and he's going to reveal the counsels of your heart. Then each one's praise will come from God." I can praise people for doing good all day long. You can be just as unsaved as anybody else. And then when God comes, he'll reward you, not me. We can't be legalistic. You need Jesus Christ plus nothing. Nothing. And you need to do nothing to maintain your salvation. Does that make sense? I hope so. Now listen carefully. Get off your phones. Wake up. Stop snoring. Listen to me very carefully. Nothing that you do is going to change God's love for you. If you are 100% obedient the rest of your life to God's commands, he will not love you anymore. If you never do anything for God, he will never love you any less. That is the beauty of the mystery of God's love for us. Do you get that? As a God-hating sinner, Jesus Christ died for me. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. It has nothing to do with my love for him when it comes to salvation. It's his love for me. My salvation, my spirituality, what makes me a child of God is his love for me. And nothing else. It's Jesus plus nothing. The prodigal son, you know, the father loved both the obedient son and the disobedient one. And because the father loved the disobedient son so much, when he come back, he cried and he put his arms around his neck. That made the obedient one mad. You know what happens? We got obedient Christians that sit in here and they play church. I come every Sunday. I check that off. I haven't missed one in 57 years. Oh, okay. Well, look at him. He doesn't come at all. Look at them. They don't serve in the church. Look at them. They don't do this. Does that mean they're not saved? Does that mean they're not all spiritual as you are? You whitewashed tomb. My goodness, man. Why is it that we make salvation and being a good Christian about the external stuff we do and don't do? Man, I'm on a roll. We got another hour to go. Woo! But don't eliminate the fact that because Jesus Christ saved you, you have absolutely nothing to do for him. Now let's get into that aspect. Because this is totally different. Totally different. God's love for me has nothing to do with my obedience to him. That has to deal with my love for Jesus. Do you get that? Paul says in 1 or 2 Corinthians, you have to look it up. I forget the passage. But he says, I'm giving you this to show your sincerity, your heartfelt sincerity of your love for Jesus. If you give, you love Jesus. You ever read that one? I'll show it to you next week maybe, but you give not because you're commanded to. You give because you love Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll what? Do you love Jesus? Has nothing to do with God's love for me. He's already proven his love for me. It has to do with your love for Jesus. Now we're getting down to where the rubber meets the road. Colossians chapter 2. You go back and read this. We won't do this. But verse 11 through 15 talks about how you are complete in Jesus Christ. You're complete. I need nothing more than just Jesus. That's all I need. Jesus. I'm complete. I don't need anything else. When I talk about being accepted to God, I'm already accepted. When I talk about doing so that I can be approved by God, I'm already approved by God. That's the beauty of it. You want to talk about who you are in Jesus? Read the book of Ephesians. Matter of fact, chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, Paul says this. having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which God the Father has made us accepted in Jesus Christ. He has made us accepted in the beloved. That's just another way to say that. In Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Has nothing to do with what I do or don't do. It's all about what Jesus did. All about what Jesus did. Now, this is where the confusion comes in. Because I see some of you are checked out and you're looking at your watches, and I'm hungry too. We're to be like-minded like that, that's why I read minds. When people equate your godliness, when people equate you trying to be obedient to God's commands with being legalistic, that's where the confusion comes in. Well, now wait a minute. Jesus saved me, yes. Well, it has nothing to do with me being all spiritual. It's what Jesus did that makes me a son of God. Yes. But God also calls you to live a holy life. God also calls you to live a godly life. So start living it. Oh, that's legalism. No, it's not. That's obedience. And that has to deal with my love for Jesus. Right? Paul says this in Romans 8:4. That the righteous requirements of the law. Well, I don't have to keep the law. Jesus abolished that on the cross. He sure did. But you still have to be obedient to it. That the righteous requirements of the law be fulfilled in us. Not because you can't do it when you're walking according to the flesh. You can only do it if you're walking in the Spirit. God still commands that we follow the Ten Commandments. But we can't do it in the flesh. That's why Jesus died to save us, to give us the Spirit. The Spirit indwells us. Now you can be obedient to God's commands. Amen? He has taken everything out of the way so that we can love Him with everything that's within us. Right? Ooh, man, that's good. That's good preaching. Where's my chair? Amen. Amen, Pastor. Amen. That's good right there. Amen. I won't say a woman. But amen comes from the Latin. It means to agree. Say it so. I agree with you. So be it. So when you say amen, that means I agree with you, Pastor. Not many of you agree with half the stuff I say. Thank you. I do church discipline too. All right, let's bring to a close. I know we're over. Forgive me. We still got stuff to do. Peter says in 1 Peter as well, talk about being obedient. As obedient children, it's not legalistic regulations. You do what your parents ask you to because you love your parents, right? There's some disobedient children. Oh, yeah. We're disobedient to the Father. But Peter says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it's written, be holy, because the Lord your God is holy. Basically, you're a child of God, right? Is Jesus God's child, right? He's the Son of God. Amen. Guess what? You're sons and daughters of God. Start acting like it. Amen. Right? Let your life here on earth match your position in heaven. Paul says in Ephesians 1, you have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Jesus gave you everything so that we could be joint heirs. He's a prince, I'm a prince. He's going to be a king, I'm going to be still a prince. He's the king. But I get everything that Jesus owns in heaven because I'm adopted as a son now. Now my life needs to start living that. I need to show that world why it's so great to be in the kingdom of God. Why it's so great to be a child of God. Make your life match your position. So when we talk about legalism, man, I may shut Sunday services down. We'll do them on Friday night and take a whole weekend off. Huh?
Go camping.
Hey, we're going to have our church services at camp. Woo! Got to take up an offering to get a camper? Listen, you should have a standard of what version you use. For us, I use the New King James mostly. Sometimes I'll use the ESV and the NLT. And where I have the differences, I'll put it up there and let you folks know. But to say that the King James only is the only version you can use, that's heresy. To say that unless the King James is open, you can't have salvation, that's damnable heresy. That is idolatry. Right? Come on, give it to me, dadgummit! That's where you're supposed to say amen.
Amen.
You guys are a work in progress. So am I, so I forgive you. I love you in Jesus. You don't have to wear a suit and tie. I could wear a holy jeans and I could wear shorts if I wanted to. I just didn't want you to see my white chicken legs. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it doesn't matter whether you have your head covered or uncovered when you pray. Take your hat off, you miserable creep. You're in God's house. Don't give me your legalistic standards. Bible doesn't say whether you should have a hat on or off. Doesn't matter. Well, he come into the service with a hat on. So? Does that mean he's not saved? Well, it bothers me. Get over it. Dadgum. Whew. But there are some serious issues. There's some serious biblical issues. There are some denominations that say you have to speak in tongues in order to have the Holy Spirit of God. And that also is from the pits of hell. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says that you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit indwells you. I am God's temple, and at salvation, the Holy Spirit came to indwell me. I don't need to speak in tongues to make sure that you know I have the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 15 says, the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child. And that's all I can know who's saved. It's just me. We'll close with this, and I apologize for going over a little bit. We even got more stuff to do. I hear the baptismal pool waters are stirring. But in all seriousness, when I eliminate legalism from my love for the Lord Jesus, it frees me to obey every word. This is probably a bad example, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. You ever watch the cooking channel? Anybody? Some of you? I used to watch. There's always these cooking challenge shows, and I think this is Chopped. And so you have all these cooking people, and every episode, somebody's gone home. Somebody's getting kicked off. And so they have all these challenges, and the very last challenge is if it's not right, then they're going home. The first one is always like a bonus. You get a new car, you get, you know, more knives or something. But then there's that immunity challenge. You know what I'm talking about? If you win the immunity challenge, there is nothing that you can do in the final that's gonna send you home. You've got immunity. You're safe. It doesn't matter if you cook junk. You can cook cat and dog. You're not getting kicked off. And you know what it does to those chefs? It frees them up. It's like, man, I'm going to take chances. I'm going to get this. I'm going to do whatever it takes because I'm going to really impress the judges. And they have no pressure. They have nothing because they have immunity. Can I tell you something? Jesus Christ fulfilled all those requirements on the cross of Calvary. You don't have to perform to maintain. You don't have to perform to do that. Jesus met all those requirements. Because of him, you're a child of God. Because of him, now you have the ability and the freedom. Man, I don't have to be legalistic. I can love Jesus Christ with everything that's within me. And I don't have to prescribe to rules and regulations. Does that make sense? Jesus said, when you come to the truth will set you free. Are you free? Are you still doing the rules and regulations? If we operated in this freedom, I think we could serve God a heck of a lot better than what we do. I think if we lived in freedom from legalistic regulations, we could be the church to a lost and dying world instead of coming in and doing church. I'll finish this with the Isaiah chapter 29, verse 12 and 13. This is the NLT version, matter of fact. Isaiah writes this. And God's talking to his people. God's talking to his people, and he's like, I give my people my word. And then Isaiah's like, well, your people say that they can't read. Really? You can't read? Well, listen to it then. Have somebody read it to you. But God says, when you give it to those who cannot read, they'll say, oh, we don't know how to read. And the Lord says this, these people, they're not mine. They're not mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are so far from me. Their worship of me is not, pay attention, is nothing but man-made rules learned by repetition. You know that Isaiah 28, 9 and 10? Precept upon precept, precept on precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That's how we learn, is repetition. And when you are learned legalistically by repetitious man-made rules, that's all you'll know. And you'll never be free to worship Jesus as he sees fit. If we learn the truth and worship and our praise and all of that stuff by what God tells us to do, then we sure would give God glory in everything that we did. But instead, for the most part, we follow our man-made traditions. Are you loving God freely? Are you legalistically in bondage to what you have to do and don't do? Let's get free. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for our time this morning. Thank you, God, just for your word. It guides and directs our lives. And, you know, if we just were obedient to what your word has for us to do, and man, how we could make an impact in your kingdom, because we're free to just love you as you see fit. And Father, I just pray, God, that you would just guide and direct our lives, guide and direct our church. We want to be that light on a hill. And we don't want to legalistically proclaim to somebody what they can and can't do. Your Spirit is going to indwell them and cause them to do what you want them to do. If they're your child, you'll direct them. And we just want to show them what your word says so that they can freely be obedient and give you glory in everything that they do. Father, we love you, Lord, and we just pray that you'd have your way in this invitation. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.